Hey guys, how's it going? Your host again for the Sports Forward Podcast, Dave Robson. How you doing? Just wanted to take the time again to thank anybody who supports the podcast by listening, doing anything it is that you can do, sharing the episodes, telling your friends about the episodes, tuning in live, all that good stuff. It goes a long way and I really do appreciate it. So I just wanted to take the time again before this next episode and say thank you. Guys, with that being said, I want you guys to enjoy newest episode out for the Sports Reporter Podcast. It is the Week 9 review and waiver wire ads. Hopefully you guys won your weeks. Sit back, listen, and enjoy. Later. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. However it is you may be listening, whatever it is you may be listening on or to, welcome to another episode of the Sports Euphoria Podcast. It's me, your host, Dave. So this is the review episode. You know, it's Tuesday. We're going to go over the waivers. I didn't get a chance to tweet out anything. I didn't get a chance to put anything on Instagram in regards to my waiver ads for the week. A little bit of a hectic day at work today. So with that being said, we're just kind of going to just jump right into it and talk about the games. A couple games. I do have some notes. I did take some notes down in regards to the games this week and the games I want to talk about and everything like that. We're going to do that now. Anybody who, if you're listening via Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you hear me interacting with anybody on Facebook Live or Facebook or Insta or Twitch, I do stream on there. So if you know you hear me answering any questions, typically one guy who comes in is King, who comes in via Twitch. So you'll hear me interact with him from time to time or answer questions. If you are interested, it is Sports Euphoria on Twitch, and it'll be on Facebook under my name, Dave Robson, when I go live. This way you can interact as well. So we're going to go with the Giants game first. I did review the Thursday night game on the preview episode on Saturday, so we're not going to do that. And we're going to just go right into it. So it's just me again today. My cousin, I asked him if he wanted to hop on real quick. It's some homework he had to do. So just going to be me for right now. But that's all right, though. We got this. It's okay. Giants game. Not too much to talk about. I do have some notes. Evan Engram ended up having a catch. Three catches for 38 yards and a touchdown. You're kind of glad to see that. Other than that, it was a tight ends game. Evan Engram had 3 for 38. Kyle Rudolph had 4 for 20. The running back, Devontae Booker, had 3 catches. The receivers had 3 catches between 3 of them for 37 yards. Kind of deplorable. The only thing for the Raiders you were excited for was Hunter Renfro. That was really it. He had the touchdown. And it was good to see Darren Waller. Obviously, without Henry Ruggs being released with his DUI case, and unfortunately, obviously, his DUI with going 156 miles per hour in a Corvette and killing somebody, that's always, you know, not okay. So they released him, and then they also released another one of their first-round picks as well just this week. So the Raiders are falling apart after they started off super strong, admit. A missed. I'm not sure the wording. So we're just going to say also with the whole John Gruden thing. But Danny Dimes had an efficient game. Not the best of games, but what are you going to do? Nothing too crazy here. I'm not really too worried about Evan Engram. I don't think it's going to happen. The offensive line is just absolutely atrocious for the Giants. So they're just, that's what's going to end up happening there with that game. Yeah, I don't really trust it. Once the offensive line gets better, I think you'll see better things going on there. Next, I want to talk about Cleveland and Cincinnati. It was really the Nick Chubb show. He had 16 total touches for 163 yards and 2 touchdowns. Crazy good game for him. Donovan Peoples-Jones, DPG, had a good game as well. Two catches for 86 on a 60-yard touchdown. With no OBJ, you know, the Cleveland Browns did release. He did clear waivers as well. So OBJ is on waivers, can be claimed by any team now, possibly Seattle, possibly Green Bay. So if you do still have Odell, or if somebody dropped Odell to play somebody else, look to pick him up. As if he goes to a contender, he can have an impact right away. Other than that, Dearness Johnson, you know, like I said, it was a Nick Chubb show. They ran the ball. Baker was very efficient, 14 out of 21. Nothing too crazy. Joe Burrow threw the ball 40 times. Not a good game for him at all. The only good Bengal to have a really good game is going to be Joe Mixon. He had 5 catches for 46 yards, and he also had 13 carries for 64 and 2 touchdowns. So I believe it was total 18 touches for 110 yards and 2 TDs. That's good, especially in PPR. Very good game. You know, for sure. Chase and Higgins both had 6 catches. Chase had 13 targets. Jamar Chase. The thing everybody was worried about in the preseason happened this game. My man was dropping balls left and right. Dropping them left and right. It was deplorable. Anyway. What are you going to do? But you love to see it from Higgins. They're going to be the top 2 pass catchers, so get used to that. If you have Tyler Boyd, drop him. Thank you. Hey, King, what's going on, Dan? Yeah, Daniel Jones has been looking good, man. Daniel Jones is efficiently as a real NFL quarterback, has really cleaned up his act. He did have a sack fumble, I believe, this game against the Raiders. Defense has been playing better, really good. Good to see from Patrick Graham that the defense is coming back to what they were last year. You know, it took some time, but they're getting there, especially with no Blake Martinez. It's really good to see with no Blake Martinez. Ideally, still want to see Gettleman get out of there. And when Andrew Thomas comes back to the left side of the line, being a left tackle to protect DJ's blind side, I really think that that's going to be really super beneficial to Jones, because then you can have Solder move over to the right side, which is going to help solidify and strengthen that offensive line a little bit. Before Thomas went out with the injury, he was like one of the top left tackles in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's going to help a lot. And I really think that if they have an easy schedule, they have a bye this week, they come off the bye, they play Tampa Bay on Monday night. That's going to, I think, be a better game than most people anticipate. Especially with the game planning they can do for Tampa Bay, having that extra week off to prepare and the Monday night. So that's super good to see. Yeah, no, for sure. I think this, if they play like they've been playing, and if Andrew Thomas can come back from the bye, excuse me, and play, I'm very optimistic. I did see Saquon. I had a crazy day of practice, King, so I missed all my Twitter updates. But I did see that. If Saquon can play too, oof, my God. Saquad. I was talking to some guys at work about Saquad, and I was showing them the Washington Redskin game from his rookie season as he's like doing the one workout where he's stretching his quads. I'll pull it up at the end. Let me see. I should be able to pull it up. I'll pull it up at the end. For anybody who, I do post my videos live on YouTube when they're done, the episodes of the podcast, and they are on my VODs on Twitch. And you can listen to them. So you can see my screen and what's going on YouTube and the VODs on Twitch. But anyway, let's go back real quick. Next game I have is Broncos Cowboys. All right, so I'm going to get on my soapbox here again. And Trayvon Diggs is terrible. King, I know you were here when I said it 3 weeks ago, or however long ago I said it. I know you were here. 18 minutes I talked about how bad this guy is. Okay. Dude, it was insane. I don't even remember which one it is. I have to go back and look. That might be a highlight one to watch. Dude, 18 minutes on why he's bad. And guess what? I shit you not. There were people on ESPN Radio and people on other podcasts for fantasy football that said that Trayvon Diggs is a risk taker and not necessarily a good cornerback and just gets interceptions. It's not how you should judge a cornerback. I shit you not, and I said it weeks ago. You're the man. I shit you not. They got torched. And it's just bitter. It's just, oh. I'm bittersweet. It's the fact that I'm a Giants fan. And he's not that good. And I took shit about it. No, I'm sorry. I took so much shit. So much shit about that. So much shit about that. I can't believe I nailed that. Like, that was, ugh. You have to, man. You know, sometimes I have CeeDee Lamb and Zeke in one of my leagues. Sometimes they play the Giants twice a year. That's what it is. That's what I chuck it up to. They play them twice a year. So, but yeah, so this game, Dak's numbers were good at the end of the game. He shouldn't have even been in the game in the final 2 minutes, but he gets 2 touchdowns, played like shit.
Everybody played like shit. The best, Dalton Schultz is the best player, right? Trayvon Diggs got burned by Tim Patrick. Holding penalties, a bunch of other shit. Like, it was just, it just made me happy. It really did, because I went out on a limb. I took a hot take. I said it weeks ago, and now everybody's looking at it. Because he got exposed by Teddy Two Gloves and Tim Patrick. Anyway, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon III. Oh, yeah, he did have, well, from a fantasy perspective, yeah, I apologize. Schultz had the most yards. Malik Turner did have 5 for 33 and 2 touchdowns. He did, the most yardage was, Schultz, that's what I was looking at real quick on my screen. I did have a note about that, too. I have notes today from this cool little amazing composition notebook with Spider-Man on it. I got it at Rite Aid. Anyway, Javonte Williams, 17 for 111. Craziness, okay? Melvin Gordon had a very good game, 21 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown. They just basically said to Dallas, we're just going to run it down your throats, and there's absolutely nothing we can do that you're going to do about it. Nothing. Jerry Jeudy, 6 catches on 8 targets. You hate to see it with Courtland Sutton, 1 for 9. I mean, that hurt me in my league. As we'll take a look real quick, I lost by .8 or .74 because it was just not a good week for me. Just not a good week. Just not a good. My bench outscored my starters. Devontae Freeman. Wait, it gets better. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Marquez Callaway, Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Mike Gesicki. Outscored my starters. Anyway. Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Oh, my God, yes. Javonte Williams will be one of the best running backs in fantasy. As long as they still have Teddy Two Gloves, because they're going to need a quarterback, because the defenses have to respect Teddy Bridgewater, so that opens up a lot of things with the running game for them. So if they don't have, if it was Drew Lock, they would stack the box because they know what's going to happen. But anyway. Is this where he was? Oh, it was a month ago. It was week 2. No. Can't find it. It's all right. Anyway. But yeah. So. The next game. I'm going to go to is. What did I have next on my notes? Oh, Atlanta, New Orleans. I didn't go over Jacksonville, Buffalo, because there's no reason to go over it. If you started the Bills, it wasn't really a good game for you, unless you had one of the receivers who caught a lot of catches. Stephon Diggs had 6. Devin Singletary had 7. Cole Beasley had 8. Sanders had 4. It was a receiver game. Josh Allen was a leading rusher, and Zach Moss did get hurt. So that was really it for that game. Houston, Miami. Nothing there. Jacoby Brissett, it was just an ugly, ugly game as well. Miles Gaskin did have a good game. And Jalen Waddle, outperformed as a receiver. 8 catches, 10 targets. So he got you at least 16 PPR points. So that's always good to see. And Gaskin, like I said, had a nice game as well with 6 catches and 20 carries. He did fumble, so I did get nervous, but they kept him in. So that's good to see. I thought Houston would have done well. Tyrod Taylor was back. He had 3 interceptions, a little bit of rust, but it happens. Brandon Cooks was the beneficiary of a lot of those. He had 13 targets and 6 catches. But what did I say? New Orleans. Let's go to the New Orleans game. New Orleans and Atlanta. All right. Brandon Cooks. He's the best receiver. So until somebody else shows that they can do something, they're just going to try to take him away because he's the only option that they have. So it's just unfortunate, but it's just going to be one of those things that's going to happen. So but Matt Ryan for Atlanta Good game. Two touchdowns, 2 for 343. Mike Davis did have 9 carries. Cordell Patterson had 9 carries. Not a very good rushing game, but New Orleans' rush defense is very good as well. So, again, take it where it comes from. You can't. Okay. Cordell Patterson had 6 catches for 126. The man just went off again. No touchdowns. He's crazy. Russell Gage had a nice game. Olamide Zaccheaus, 3 catches and 2 of them were touchdowns. That's just, you know, unfortunate. Now, Mr. Pitts did have 9.2 points in PPR leagues. However, he dropped a 35 to 40 yard pass play on the opening play. Like, he had his man beat. Ryan throws it and he just drops it. Like, he just drops it. You can't, like, you could fault him there, but you really can't. Like, obviously it happens. You know, he had 7 targets, though. Like, he still was second in the team in targets. So you still like to see that. I get it. He's pissing you off. And it's not I don't think it's a great matchup next week. I got to take a look at it. But it's 7 targets. Like, it's hard to argue that. Like, if he would have caught maybe the other one, he would have had 100 yards at least. Because he may have even had the touchdown. But you never know. So, anyway. For the Saints, Trevor Siemian, who I like as well, I'll talk about him a little bit later as well, had a good game, 25 for 41. You know, not the best completion percentage, but still nonetheless. 249 yards. Again, in a 2-quarterback super flex league, not a bad guy to look at. Taysom Hill did go 2 for 2 with 33 yards. Kamara was tied for 2nd in the team with targets. Marquez Callaway was 4th with 6 targets. He had 3 catches. He did have a touchdown. Kenny Stills had a beautiful touchdown catch as well. And Kamara got you some good points. You know, he got you 14 and a touchdown, so like 20 points. Again, that's what Kamara's going to do. You get 20 points from Kamara on a weekly basis, you're going to be happy. Mark Ingram is going to help. It's going to be a weird working relationship with these guys. Ingram's going to help him become more efficient, but take away his touches. So Ingram's going to be the bruiser back, get the defensive line tired, the linebackers, get him hurting, get him tired, and then Kamara's going to come in and just blow right by him. So you're going to see, I think, Kamara's yards per carry go up as a result, because he's going to be carrying less, but just hitting up against weaker and tired defenses. So but we'll see. But what is the next game I have here on my list? New England, the Patriots game. I'm going a little overplaced, but Carolina, Sam Darnold cannot play against the Patriots. I'm sorry to say, he's absolutely terrible. Please drop him in every single format you can ask for. Drop him now. CMC was back. Good to see him come back. He did well, looked good. They didn't overwork him. He did have over 100 yards, 4 catches. 18 touches in total. 106 yards. Chuba Hubbard, just a carry, or really the catch was what helped him out. But not efficient. Like, Sam Darnold was terrible, completed under 50% of his passes. That's why you're going to be a career backup and taking 3rd overall. Mac Jones, showing him how it's done efficiently. 12 of 18, 1 INT, and a touchdown. They didn't have to throw the ball much, worked with a lot of short fields. Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris had very good games. Damian Harris had a touchdown, Ramondre Stevenson had 2 catches. Damian Harris also had 1 catch. However, both Stevenson and Harris are questionable. So if you can, take a look at Brandon Bolden. He had 8 carries for 54 yards and also had 2 catches for another 27, bringing his total up to 81 total yards. Not too shabby. Got you at least 10 PPR points, and they used a lot of they had a lot of ball carriers that game. So talk about Brandon Bolden later in the episode. I'm just really bouncing all over the place. Minneapolis, the Vikings. Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's Baltimore. This game was ugly early. Like, I think Lamar Jackson just plays like shit in the first half. He's like, it's all right, guys. I got this. Let's give him a little bit of a lead. We'll make him feel good about themselves. And we'll come in and go, whoop. Who's your daddy? Lamar's your daddy. Kirk Cousins had an efficient game. 2 touchdowns, no turnovers, 187 passing yards. But again, it's 17 completions. It just wasn't 3 to Jefferson, 5 to Tyler Conklin, 2 to Thielen. Thielen did have a touchdown, and Jefferson had a touchdown. Kirk Cousins also had a rushing touchdown. So Kirk Cousins had a very good, productive game from a fantasy perspective for sure. Dalvin Cook, 17 carries for 110 yards, and he also had 3 catches. So again, another good Dalvin Cook game. Lamar Jackson threw for 266 and then ran for 120. Mike Jones and Brian Burns. Lamar Jackson, 266 and ran for 120. Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. Who would have thought you'd have those two in the same backfield? They ran the lot. They did go to overtime, almost a full overtime, so they had a lot of plays. But Devontae Freeman, 13 carries, 79 yards, and Le'Veon Bell, 11 carries, 48 yards, and a touchdown. Freeman did have a touchdown catch, got you about 16 PPR points, I believe. He was on my bench, so I really don't want to look at it too much. Yeah, 16.3. And then Marquise Brown had like 2 catches in the first 4 quarters, and then gets 7 in overtime. It was disgusting. Mark Andrews, pedestrian game, you know, like 9 points. Rashad Bateman got another 10 points. And then Marquise Brown got over 20. Bateman's getting targeted, though. Like, he's 5 for 52, 8 targets. Marquise Brown, 12 targets. I'm hoping Brown goes off against the Dolphins next week and Bateman has a good game as well. I know a lot of people in my one league want Rashad Bateman. I have Rashad Bateman. And I'm trying to maximize my profits. I know I'm not trying to. I mean, at one point I did ask for a crazy. In my dynasty draft, I asked for a mid first round draft pick, which again isn't unreasonable. Nobody knows what Rashad's going to be yet, as well as you don't know what rookies are going to be yet. So I think that seeing what Rashad can do, you have a little bit more to work on this season. And I also have Marquise Brown, so I'm not going to start both of them. I mean, I could almost start both of them, and they're averaging me 30 points between 2 guys. If they're going to do that, sure, why not? But yeah, so I just saw that with Dalvin Cook. We recently received notification from Dalvin Cook's legal representative regarding a situation that occurred between Dalvin and a female acquaintance in November of 2020 and led to an ongoing dispute between the parties. Upon learning this, we immediately notified the NFL. We are in the process of gathering more information and will withhold further comment at this time. So, yeah. That's also interesting. I did see that. I wasn't sure what it was because it was 2020, so I didn't know if it researched, like if it had like just somebody found it or whatever. So yeah, that is going to have some sort of effect because the NFL, you can end up on the commissioner's exempt list. Everybody's, if you're not familiar with, you can probably Google Ray Rice. And you'll be able to see kind of what can happen to you from an NFL perspective. So yeah, I mean, even Kareem Hunt, his situation, that could really affect the Vikings. With that, I did see that though. I knew exactly where it was and exactly what was going on. Yeah, we'll see.
Actually, that does remind me because I have Alexander Mattison in one of my leagues. So that's actually massive. Obviously, you hope everything's okay and all that good stuff. So, you know, all parties involved, hope they're okay.
But yeah, so we're going to move on from that game. Oh, Tyler Conklin. You can look at Conklin if you want to for PPR only, I would say maybe. I don't know. In certain leagues, if you're desperate from the tight end position. But with Kittle coming back now, you should be okay. So you shouldn't have to worry too much because Kittle had a really good game. We're going to talk about that in a second. So... And I am probably going to have another Trayvon Diggs soapbox when I can get a little bit more research done and see the coverages and see how bad he was burned on Sunday. I'll do it on Friday or Saturday. I actually have a wedding to go to on Friday, so it'll probably be on Saturday. We're going to go to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chargers. Justin Herbert had himself a game. I benched him over Matthew Stafford. That came back to bite me in the ass, as we'll talk about later. Austin Eckler, subpar game for according to Eckler standards, I guess you'd say. But still nonetheless, you know, almost 60 rushing yards and 3 catches, so 80, you know, about 11, 12 points, you know, so not terrible. But Herbert, 3 total touchdowns with the yardage. Keenan Allen had a game. And if you will listen, I said this on Saturday's episode, I expect Keenan Allen to have a bigger game for the simple fact of Mike Williams. I believe Darius Slay was covering Mike Williams. And we know how that went. All right. 2 catches on 5 targets for 58 yards. His longest one was 49. That was it. I saw it. I saw it happen. So I got beat on 1, but that was it. That's all he did. Keenan had 12 targets or 12 receptions for 104 yards and 13 targets. 22 PPR points. And then we're going to go to real quick the Eagles. Jalen Hurts had a very efficient game and has been more efficient since they started running the ball. I don't know why they didn't do this earlier. Makes no sense. Jordan Howard. Now, mind you, I think Miles Sanders is more talented than Boston Scott and Jalen Hurts. I mean, and Jordan Howard. But they weren't doing it with Miles Sanders. Now you have 3 freaking running backs in the backfield for when Jalen Hurts comes back or for when Miles Sanders comes back. So, see what happens. Jordan Howard, though, 17 targets, 71 yards and a touchdown. And don't forget, Jordan Howard can catch the ball. He hasn't been using the passing game, but he can catch. Kenneth Gainwell did take a touchdown away, which I thought Hurts was going to get. Kenneth Gainwell did have a touchdown. If you had him in deeper leagues and you were able to get him and you know, it's 16-team leagues, 14-team leagues. You needed somebody, he got you a touchdown. That's always good to see. Now time for the crazy stat of the game. Jalen Hurts had 162 passing yards. Devontae Smith had 116 of them. Dallas Goedert had 43. And Quez Watkins had 9. He had 116 of 162 yards on the bench because he'd been sucking it up the past couple weeks. So I'm like, why am I going to play Devontae Smith? Now, I also said it last week, and I shoot myself for not sticking to it. Said it on Saturday. Chargers are missing 2 of their cornerbacks. I should probably start Devontae Smith. I should probably take my own goddamn advice because this wouldn't have happened. 81.48 to 82.02. I have to take my own goddamn advice. Seriously. Anyway, I have Jalen Hurts and Danny Dimes. My quarterbacks have been very inefficient for me. That's why I've had two close games. I'm hoping once Andrew Thomas comes back, Daniel Jones can step it up a little bit with Saquon. That's when his numbers were getting were better with Saquon. So we will see. Next, I want to talk about Arizona and San Francisco. So this was the James Conner show. Yeah, James Conner just went off. James Conner. Now, before you freak out, this was not game script for James Conner to go off. And I'm very upset about this because your boy had Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds touched the ball once for 3 yards, has a high ankle sprain. No worry about the all caps. And yes, Nick Chubb is on a COVID list, but he is vaccinated. So as long as he does two back-to-back tests within a 24-hour period, two negative tests within a 24-hour period, he is he'll be able to play on Sunday because he is vaccinated. So Colt McCoy had a game. If you started Colt McCoy for two quarterback leagues, you had Murray, you needed somebody. Not a terrible game. One passing touchdown. Like I said, 249 yards. Very, very efficient. But it was the James Conner show and also the Christian Kirk show. I talked to a buddy of mine that I'm in a league with. I text him. I'm like, hey, man, DeAndre Hopkins isn't supposed to be playing. AJ Green's on COVID and there might not be Kyler Murray. We're going to start Christian Kirk for Jacoby Myers. He's like, yeah, I'm down with it. Christian Kirk, six catches for 91 yards. And he also threw the ball for 33. So, you know, 13, 14 points, depending on scoring. So, but like I said, James Conner all the way, 96 rushing yards, two touchdowns, and he also had five catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. So it's 173 total yards. So 17 and then three touchdowns is 18. The man went off. Plus the five catches in PPR. Your guy just said, whoop. But what bothers me is this should have probably been a Chase Edmonds type game. Chase, the 45-yard touchdown by James Conner should have probably been a Chase Edmonds 45-yard touchdown catch. Catch and run, but it happens. It does happen. Zach Ertz, I thought, would have had a little bit of a bigger game. He only had three catches for 27. Rondale Moore had a nice game from a perspective of catches. He had five catches for 25 yards, but it was really the Christian Kirk and James Conner show. Eno Benjamin is somebody to take a look at with the high ankle sprain. It could be a couple weeks. He could end up going on IR as well, just to kind of, you know, open up a roster spot for somebody short-term IR. So they do like to use two running backs, and James Conner is also injury prone towards, you know, the middle after his first 2 years with Pittsburgh. So just if you had Chase Edmonds and you're looking for somebody to possibly stash, because you're running back, because, you know, you went zero running backs. If you don't have James Conner, look at Eno. Not much of a pass catcher to what I know, but they might try to just do a split backfield. He did have 9 for 39 and a touchdown. So, you know, just kind of look for that. But then for San Francisco side, Elijah Mitchell, not the greatest game in the world, did have, you know, 79 yards in total, five catches. So from that perspective, you know, over 10 points is going to be good, especially with how the game was going. Jimmy G did have a very good game, permitting, you know, the offensive line didn't do too much for him. He did get sacked a lot, but he did throw the ball for 326 yards. But George Kittle looked good, 6 for 101 and a touchdown. You love to see it. You love to see him come back. You love to see him healthy. Really, I think it's going to help the team. I just think they played, you know, unfortunately, a better team this game. And it sucks, but the Cardinals are for real this year. And Brandon Ayuk, you love to see it with Ayuk. 6 on 8 targets for 89 yards and a touchdown. Hopefully this is something he can build upon, because he had a good game a couple weeks ago. And then unfortunately just shit the bed the rest of the week till this week. So, and then Deebo Samuel, you know, 5 for 63 on 9 targets. You know, you like to see him hopefully get more targets in, but again, pressures, things like that, forced errant throws. Shit happens. Next, we're going to real quick go Titans-Rams. Uh, think I did skip one. I think I did skip one. I did do Cleveland, Cincinnati. So King, have a good one. Enjoy coming by as always. And I'll probably see you on Saturday if you come by for the preview episode. Thanks again for your input. Thanks again for interacting. I appreciate it. Be safe. Be good. If you're going to the gym, have a good workout. Anyway, Matthew Stafford looked like hot dog doo-doo. Two bad interceptions, very Carson Wentz-esque, like last week against the same team. Hate to see it. Titans capitalized and then kind of just played keep away. Dante Foreman, Jeremy McNichols, Adrian Peterson all carried the ball. Peterson had 10 for 21. McNichols had 7 for 24. And Dante Freeman had 5 for 29. I had McNichols in my one league. I happened to lose because they were ahead. So they didn't use McNichols in the passing game as much as I was hoping they would have. It happens. I should have played other people. I would have won by a lot more. It is what it is. AJ Brown, 5 for 42. A lot of targets. Just the Rams defense is good. You know, the Rams defense showed you that they could play. And AJ Brown was definitely still the target, but you like to see Julio, who got 4 targets and 4 catches for 35 yards. So, you know, you really can't argue with that. You hope he does more. For sure. Jeff Swaim. I like Swaim as their I think he's just their tight end. They just run a lot of different tight ends. And I think it's not Fursker. I think it's Jeff Swaim. He had another touchdown this game. But Darrell Henderson, you know, didn't do too much. 3 catches for 3 yards. So, you know, about 8 points for you. No touchdowns. It was a Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp show. For the most part, Cooper Kupp had 11 catches on 13 targets, and Woods had 7 catches on 10. And Higbee got you 10 points as well, but it wasn't, you know, Sony Michel got you the touchdown. But other than that, this game wasn't too crazy. Just very unfortunate to see how I thought the Rams were going to blow him out. But they did not, so you hate to see it. And then real quick, we're going to go to the Bears-Steelers game. Don't even get me started on this with a bullshit taunting call. Najee Harris had a good game, 22 carries, 62 yards and a touchdown. And he also had 3 catches. So 8, you know, about 14 points. You can't really go wrong with that. Big Ben, nothing too crazy. 205, 2 touchdowns. However, it was the Pat Freiermuth show. I needed my boy Patty to give me at least like 13 points this game. My man dropped like 23. Like, what? He got 9. Did he drop 23? He had 9 plus 12, 21. 21 points. Over 20 points. Still good. Love to see it. Love to see it. Chase Claypool did get hurt, but he did nothing super crazy. 3 for 30. Did have some carries, but... So, we'll see. For the Bears... Oh, and Deontay Johnson is just a receiver you want. You want pretty much Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris, and Pat Freiermuth. Those are the guys that you want from Pittsburgh. Next, we're going to go to the Bears. The Bears. Justin Fields showed up, almost threw for 300 yards on 17 completions, you know, averaging 10 yards a pass. 1 touchdown interception. Interception was batted up in the air, so it's, you know, not super crazy. Darnell Mooney had a big catch for a touchdown, which gave him the lead. Pittsburgh obviously comes back. And then Cairo Santos almost hit a 66-yard field goal to win the game. But Darnell Mooney, 3 for 41, had a touchdown, so you know, 13 points. But Cole Kmet, 6 for 87, You know, that's really good to see from Komet, who's been a little inconsistent. You're hoping now that the young quarterback understands his tight ends are his friends, not the enemy. And then Allen Robinson, over 10 points in PPR. Hey, man, finally got you 10 points. Just saying, hopefully this is the start of something. Hopefully they finally like, oh, this guy can catch. This guy kind of nice. We'll see. But like I said, we'll see. So quickly, I just want to talk about, I got so much shit. So we're going to see if the guys actually listen to my podcast, my IRL friends, my in real life friends, guys, my like friends for over like 10 years. All right. So there's a group chat, 10 of us in there, 12 team league. Two of the guys are older. So we're all in there and they're all like laying into me, right? They're all like laying super into me. I have two waiver claims, but I'm not showing it in case they look on YouTube. So these guys lay into me. It's my bench, terrible. I got $100 on somebody else that like I have a better record than them. We have the same record because he ended up losing this week. I mean, it was crazy. It was definitely crazy for sure. And I needed this win. I didn't know he got this win, but he had Pat Freiermuth, and Freiermuth got him the W. So that's always great to see for sure. Which helped me out so much because I thought I was going to be screwed, but I wasn't. I was not. So we have a good game coming up next week. You know, he's slotted to win. I think something else must have happened with somebody from my team, because I was not supposed to lose by that much. Unless he made a move. He may have made a move. So, yeah. There's that. But I got a lot of shit. They're like, oh, you should have them, you know, do like a episode, or like you need to have us on a podcast. Listen, all right? Listen. You go back to the preview episode I did on Saturday where I flew through shit. If I'd have taken my own advice, I'd have won. All right? I didn't heed my own advice. I was like, you know what? My team's good. I played the fucking projections. You never play the projections. I played the fucking projections. And I lost. All right. So, shit happens. It does. But what are you going to do? All right. We'll see if they listen. You know, one of the owners of the team, Brian, you know, you have a baby boy, a couple weeks old. Congratulations. You know. Pretty sure I thought we was a dynasty, you know, league, people ragging on our drafts and things like that. I got like the second youngest team in the league, you know, whatever. Probably have the youngest now that I got rid of some of my old guys. Anyway, trying to win for, you know, a couple different years. I'm going to start winning leagues. They're going to be like, all right, we got to do a redraft. This guy's nuts. I'm going to start winning. They're going to be, I'd be like, should listen to the episodes. Anyway, real quick, just kind of want to go over a couple waiver guys to take a peek at that I like this week, because it is Waiver Wire Tuesday, because on ESPN and other league formats, waivers do run Tuesday into Wednesday. CBS does Wednesday into Thursday, depending on your league. I do a lot of CBS leagues. Majority of my leagues are on all of CBS's platforms. I like it. It's neat. It's clean. I also use Sleeper. We've been using Sleeper. I like that a lot as well. Very clean, very underrated. So, Sleeper runs on Tuesdays as well. So, quarterbacks, depending on your quarterback situation, I do like Big Ben against Detroit. They're probably going to try to run the ball a lot, but Detroit plays weird, so they may have to throw the ball a couple times. I expect another maybe two touchdowns from Ben for about 250 to 260. You'll take that. Trevor Siemian, if Taysom Hill does not play, I like Trevor Siemian again. I think it's a good matchup for him as well against Tennessee. Bad defense. you know, they showed you they could stop the run, so they might make you throw for a little bit. And Simeon was a starting quarterback, so don't forget about that. Do not forget Simeon was a starting quarterback for the Broncos and can play a little bit. Clearly not enough, not well enough. Also, look for PJ Walker, again, depending on your quarterback situation. PJ Walker is the backup quarterback for Carolina. Sam Darnold playing like trash. He could be a pickup, but I wouldn't trust it. Just saying, if you're in deeper leagues or two quarterback leagues, you need somebody, do it. I also, again, like Taylor Heinicke. I do not know when Fitzpatrick's coming back. Also, I think they might just run with Taylor. Let him get the experience. Maybe he could be your quarterback of the future. See how he does. Instead of wasting a draft pick on a quarterback, maybe you could shore up something else. Get him some other weapons instead of just Terry McLaurin. Like, that could probably help him. It's just him, and whenever he plays a good matchup, he sucks, and it throws off Taylor's numbers. So, I like Taylor Heinicke. I have for a couple weeks now. I have him as one of my two quarterbacks in my super flex for sleeper. Next, I want to go running backs. Not too many running backs here that I saw. Just pretty much Brandon Bolden, as both Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris are both questionable for next week. Brandon Bolden is a Patriot through and through. Knows the system, knows what to do, can run the ball, can catch the ball. He's the James White. He's that guy. They keep him around for a reason. Injuries happen. The man's there. He's a professional's professional. All right? As well as Eno Benjamin. Talked about this before. James Conner has had a history of injury issues. If you're looking for some security and you have James Conner or you have somebody, look at Eno Benjamin. Just saying. Also, Ty Johnson and Sony Michel. I really do think that if Mike White continues to be the quarterback of the New York Jets, which can happen this week and next, if he goes in there and he beats Buffalo, my guy, the New York Jets have a quarterback controversy in their locker room. Just saying. Le'Veon Bell and Sony Michel, for obvious reasons, because if Darrell Hutchinson goes down, Sony is the other guy. So, but Ty Johnson, he's been doing well. He's been playing well. He's been getting some good points the past, even with, look at this, 11.4, 13.1, 22.6, 16.1. The past 4 weeks, he's been, you know, averaging 10 points a game. Not too crazy rushing, but catching the ball, man. He's getting it done. So, you know, don't overlook them. Don't sleep on them. For wide receivers, the usual. Brandon Ayuk, 50% owned, just makes it. Russell Gage, Dallas Cowboy, against the Cowboys. No Calvin Ridley, still, you know, taking some time away from the game to clear his mental health and you know, make sure everything's good for him. And Jamal Agnew. Saying it for a couple weeks now. Had a little bit of a rough game, if I'm not mistaken, last week. But other than week 4.8, week 5, 10, week 6, you know, 12, week 8, 15. This week, I believe he did drop a pass. He was in the end zone for a touchdown, I believe. He did drop that. Would have had another, you know, just very underrated player. Very innovative player. There's no DJ Chark. They need to do something. Dan Arnold and Jamal Agnew, I'm telling you. And that segues into Dan Arnold. And Donovan Peoples-Jones. No OBJ, DPG, or DPJ for OBJ. Donovan Peoples-Jones is now a sneakier dynasty play because of no Odell. He's young. He's talented, he's a big body, and he has good hands. I believe Landry is also in a contract year, so they're going to need another receiver if they don't keep Landry. So just keep that in mind for dynasty leagues. Even in regular redraft leagues going into next year, expect a lot from DPJ. And even this year, you can expect a little bit more from DPJ. You'll like to see that the game without Odell, he did something. First couple games didn't do much, you know, then he gets you 6 points the next game, and, you know, then nothing. Then, you know, 12 against the Chargers, and then 34 against the Cardinals, and then 21 against Cincinnati. Like, give him a chance. Just give him a chance. Young kid playing for 2 years, 6'2", 22 years old. Like, give the kid a chance, man. Then tight ends. I'm going to go with Donald Faram from the Chargers. I like Jared Cook, but Faram's been getting some stuff, man. He's been getting some stuff for sure. Again, from a perspective of, you know, just super deep leagues where you might need a tight end, he's just somebody to look at. Herbert's shown you that he's not afraid to just throw the ball around. Big body, 6'8", you know. Just keep that in mind. Jared Cook getting old too, so even in like dynasty leagues or deeper like keeper leagues, look for Faram. You know, so you can have a nice tight end for next year, especially if Cook's not there. He's a journeyman, so you never know. And we got a little bit of RSJ with the Ricky Seals Jones. Tampa Bay sucks against tight ends. Put him up, because if it ain't Terry McLaurin, it's Ricky Seals Jones or J.D. McKissick. That's about it. I think he'll beat his projection for sure. And then Dan Arnold, another one I've been saying for a couple weeks now, only 30% rostered. Another good game. Like, I get it, not the greatest of all time, but 8 points, 4 points, 4 points, 11 points, 4 points, 14 points, 10 points. They need somebody to catch the ball, especially if they're losing. Carlos Hyde ain't doing shit for them, so we'll see. But anyway, that's the waiver wire, you know, episode, the waiver wire in week 9 review. If you can, for kickers, you know, Chris Boswell, Young Hoku, Matt Prater, Brandon McManus, Daniel Carlson, those types of guys. DSTs. Cardinals. Maybe the Raiders against the Chiefs. The Bills, maybe. But Mike White's playing. I don't trust it. Pittsburgh's defense against the Lions. Indianapolis's defense against the Jaguars. These are just things you could think of. And the Seahawks defense, if Jordan Love starts again. Thank you. All right. Look, I appreciate, as always, you guys coming by. I like the fact that I had some notes this time. Kind of kept me a little bit more structured. Went through the games that I had notes on. Kind of flew through the games that meant nothing instead of me talking about nonsense. It allowed me to interact a little bit more with those of you guys in the chat. So, I appreciate it. Means a lot to me, as always. Anybody who comes by, anybody who supports, I appreciate it. I got to try to figure out some trades I got to make. I want to see what waivers look like tomorrow. If I get my guys, I don't think I got to wheel and deal nobody. But we'll see. I need some running backs. I need some other shit going on. Might be able to get a Melvin Gordon for Rashad Bateman. I don't know if I want to do that. Trade-off, but, you know, I gotta see, man. I gotta see, because I can still be in it to win it if I want, but my quarterbacks are iffy. If I win this week, maybe I wheel and deal. We'll see. But seriously, Friday is probably not gonna be an episode, because like I said, I have a wedding. Saturday, I will probably be trying to pump out an episode if I can at some point. Do have, you know, like obviously work and all and all that good stuff, but I do want to get an episode out to you guys earlier rather than later, so you guys can consume that content as well. I do want to try to look into doing like a pre-Sunday type show, but I do play softball on Sunday morning, so I can't do that now, maybe when the softball season ends, but you know, we'll see. I'll think about it. I do want to also try to do a little bit more on the TikTok. The tickety-tock. get the name out there, get the podcast out there, get some people to listen, get some people to consume the content. Like I said, I'm a guy with a passion for sports. I enjoy it, as you guys are aware from my Trayvon Diggs episode. I like to just talk sports in general. It doesn't have to be fantasy related. I may be doing more sports talk when football season's over. Also, I'm a big gamer nerd as well. Call of Duty's going to be starting up soon. The World Championships for Valorant's going to be starting up as well. So trying to consume a little bit of that content, view that bracket, see what's going on. I will clarify what podcast I'm doing and what the episode is going to be about before I air it. So this way, you guys want to listen to it, don't waste your time. You want a football one? Boom, do this. You want a baseball one? Boom, do this. You want gaming? Boom, do this. I'm trying. We're going to see what happens. We're going to see how it goes. But like I said, I appreciate anybody who comes by, anybody who listens, anybody who likes the Facebook post, anybody who retweets the tweets, anybody who follows me on Instagram, follows me on Twitter, follows me on Twitch, follows on YouTube. You guys know what it is. It does. It means a lot. Goes a long way. You know, hopefully I'm looking to get my one co-host back. I know his fantasy team's taken up since he's left the podcast. So I'm just saying, no correlation, but you know, I kind of know my shit. I just don't listen to my own advice. But guys, with that being said, I'll have this up and out on all the platforms for you to listen to within the next 20, 30 minutes. I appreciate it. Have a great one. It's Tuesday. Enjoy the rest of your week. Don't forget to swing by on Saturday. Put your claims in. And don't forget, Thursday night, we got Ravens Dolphins, baby. Later.